In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for His forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Behold, my servant, whom I uphold,
my chosen, in whom my soul delights.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage,
and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron,
and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear,
and rejoice with trembling,
for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Thank you. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syria like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord, over many waters. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the Gospel reading, especially these verses. Jesus answered John the Baptizer, saying, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." This is our text. Jesus said, "Let it be so now, that John would baptize him, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." These are the very first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew. The first thing he says is about the need for him to be baptized by John, to fulfill all righteousness. You might remember as well that the very last words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Matthew also have to do with baptism. When he tells his disciples, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The first words that Jesus speaks have to do with his baptism, and the very last words that he speaks have to do with your baptism. What this means is that his public ministry, the things that he came to do during his life on earth, began and ended with baptism. In fact, the very structure of Matthew's gospel shows that baptism is central both to Jesus' life on earth and to the life of his body, the church, to us. And it has to do not only with the command of Jesus, he certainly did command baptism, but it also has to do with his person. It's intimately connected to who he is and to what he does. His incarnation and his baptism go together. Jesus is the eternal Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as we heard today, coming to the Jordan River, to John, to be baptized by him. So here's the main idea, the big point today. Jesus, the Word, is personally in the water to save sinners. Baptism is what it is and does what it does for you and for me because Jesus is in the water. Jesus is in the water, or at least he's on the bank about to get in the water, but John the Baptist doesn't think that's a very good idea. You might have heard that in the gospel reading. John the Baptist would have prevented Jesus from being baptized, and he looks at Jesus and says, I need to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? You don't belong here, Jesus, in this water. If John had his way, Jesus would stay out of the water entirely, not even dip a toe in. Why? Because the water was a place for sinners. That's what John came preaching, a baptism of repentance for sinners. And as John has these sinners streaming to the Jordan River, it's as if he has a sign posted beside the baptismal water saying, only sinners allowed in. No admittance for those without sin. John made it clear that this is how and why he administered baptism. For when the people came to him, they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And this is the disconnect that John sees. Here's Jesus. What sin does he have to confess? And we know the answer. Like us in every way, but without sin. These people need a baptism of repentance, but John knows that Jesus has no need of repentance, so he obviously doesn't belong in the water. It makes sense. You can almost hear John's shock and surprise at the idea of Jesus being baptized. John's like, hey, don't bother with the water, Jesus. You don't need it. Surely you've got better things to do than to get in the water with sinners. Shouldn't you be out saving the world or something? And our Lord's reply, but of course, John, that's exactly what I'm doing here in the water. John recognizes rightly, I would say, his own need to be baptized into Jesus, but he can't quite get his mind wrapped around Jesus being in the water. And yet that's the very thing Jesus wants to do. In fact, if you're reading the Gospel of Matthew, it's the very first thing Jesus wants to do, to get in the water with sinners. In fact, he insists on doing it. Now, John isn't the only one who would try to keep Jesus out of the water. I've noticed this over the years, that at times when I look at what various churches teach about baptism, what they say on their websites or on their public statements,
they basically do, many of them basically do the same thing. Not that the church denies our Lord's baptism, they don't, and yet they speak about baptism in a way that makes it all about you and not so much about Jesus. For example, quoting from one church website, it says this about baptism: by accepting Jesus as Savior, you have received the free gift of salvation available only through Christ. You have concluded that Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only thing that can bridge the gap between you and God, which is true. Baptism, they say, does not provide salvation. It is an act of obedience and is a testimony of your decision. We view baptism as an important step in your life as a follower of Jesus. Baptism is an outward expression of following Christ. You notice what they say. And I bring this out because it's common among many Christian churches. In their view, what matters about baptism is what you do. Accept, conclude, obey, follow. It's not what Jesus does that matters, they say, but what you do. And so while they have baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they end up robbing baptism of all its power, its benefits, and its gifts, because they rob it of Jesus. Take Jesus out of the baptismal water like that, and all that's left is what you bring in. And in that case, baptism's only as good as your own personal commitment. And I don't know about you, but I find daily that my personal commitment is not the thing that's going to carry me through. Others may miss the point about baptism, yet let's not just point the fingers beyond. We too, in our own way, would keep Jesus out of the water. What do I mean? No, we don't deny the benefits of baptism, but do we not sometimes deny our own sin? Or ignore it, or make excuses for it? Isn't it the case that we too often have tried to handle sin on our own rather than let Jesus be the one to deal with it? And haven't we each at some point held on to some sins, frequently returned to them, and too easily given in to them? It's as if we tell Jesus, "Hey, Lord, no need for you to be in the water with me. This sin of mine, it's not that big a deal. I've got it under control. You just stay out of the water and I'll be fine. I'll take care of it myself. Thank you very much." We may try to keep Jesus out of the water. Other churches may try to take Jesus out of the water. John the Baptist may try to stop him from being in the water. But you know, Jesus is pretty determined. He's not so easily turned aside. Jesus answered John. He said, "John, move over. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And by golly, John decided it was okay for Jesus to get in the water. No matter what John says, no matter how strongly a church denies the benefits of baptism, no matter how weakly we struggle with sin, Jesus gets in the water. He gets all the way in. He gets all the way in the water with sinners and their sins. This is the amazing thing. When John says, "Hey, this is only for sinners," Jesus says, "I know, John. That's why I'm here. I'm here to be where the sinners are. I'm here to identify with the sinners in their sins. And I am here to carry it all the way to the cross." He gets in the water with sinners to take away sin forever. He gets in the water with sinners to wrestle that sin away and to put it to death, if that's what it takes. So right here at the beginning of his earthly ministry, to the great surprise and even perhaps the great alarm of everyone, Jesus gets in the water and so identifies himself as the sinner. You might say that day when Jesus was baptized, he confesses all sin as his. Not that he did it, but that he's going to own it. All sin, every single sin of yours and mine, he confesses as his own. He claims it, he owns it, and not just the sin, but also the guilt and the condemnation and the death and the hell that come with it. Because the Word is in the water, because Jesus is in the water, he removes our sin from us. He works forgiveness, and he rescues from death and the devil, and he does it with water. Holy baptism is a precious thing. St. Paul reflects on our Lord becoming sin for us when he says in 2 Corinthians, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The righteousness of Jesus isn't just his obedience to the law. It's the plan of salvation that God accomplishes in and through Jesus. His righteousness is his innocent suffering, his bleeding, his dying on the cross. For us and for our salvation, he was baptized into death. This is what Jesus does. He gets into the water to take our sin, and he gets out of the water to die on the cross with that sin. You might say that the body of sin hangs on the cross and it is buried in the tomb. I know we think if we're attuned to God's law, to his commandments, if we're attuned to our own nature, we think that it's the body of sin that we're carrying around and we just can't get rid of. But the body of sin is there. It hangs on him. And when he rises from the dead on the third day, you know what is left behind in the tomb? You know what doesn't rise with him? Sin. Yours and mine. He has taken it away. When he rises on the third day, that sin is left behind and a new man emerges. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Do you see how baptism, Jesus, death, and resurrection all hang together? They belong together for Jesus, and they belong together for you as well. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Because Jesus is in the water, did you catch who else is there? The Father is there. He speaks. The Spirit is there. He descends. The entire Holy Trinity is there in the water, present and active. And so also in the baptism that Jesus gives to his disciples at the end of his public ministry, they are to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Or you could even say they are to baptize all people into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism that you have received. And if you are not baptized, this is the baptism to which you are invited. It means that Jesus was also there in the water of your baptism. It means that the Spirit was given to you and descended on you at your baptism. It means that because you are baptized, you are beloved of the Father, which is an amazing thing to say. And I know sometimes, especially when we're looking at our own sin, we say, "Who could possibly love this?" And your Father in heaven says, "Oh, but I baptized you. I do love you because your sin has been taken away by Christ." St. Paul said that Jesus is the source of your, or that God the Father is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. It's all there in Jesus. And Jesus is there in the water. St. Paul unpacks the meaning of baptism in his letter to the Romans, which we heard read today. He said, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." To walk with him in newness of life, to be united with him in a resurrection. It happened to you on the day when you were baptized with water in the triune name, because Jesus was there in the water. And this is the upshot of it, the result of your baptism. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I think we consider exactly the opposite. Sometimes, even though we are Christians and we know what God says in his word, we consider ourselves alive to sin and dead to God, but that's not true. St. Paul tells us, when you walk out these doors today, this is how you should be considering and thinking of yourself. I am one who is dead to sin, and I am one who is alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this is true not because of me, but because of him and what he has done and what he put in the water for me. All because Jesus is in the water. And by his baptism in the Jordan, he sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. And so, dear Christian, whether your baptism was 70 years ago or 2 weeks ago, whether you remember the day that it happened or you were too little to have any memory of it, you can never value your baptism too highly. For the Lord himself has honored baptism by undergoing it, and he has made your baptism into a daily death and a daily resurrection, in which you put sin off and he is put on. So strive, dear Christian, to walk in this newness of life, in the Son, by the Spirit, to the Father, as a foretaste of the life of the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Heavenly Father, you have revealed your Son to us in the wondrous Epiphany in the Jordan. So also you have revealed your name and blessing to us in holy baptism, declaring us your beloved heirs. Draw the unbaptized to this precious gift, and grant that we and all who are baptized may daily die to sin and rise to newness of life, living with joy as your baptized children. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, as you have opened heaven to your church through holy baptism, give her faithful teachers to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that accords with godliness, that many would repent of their sins and join him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, preserve the family, especially all Christian homes. Turn husband and wife toward one another in love. Equip fathers and mothers for their holy duty as teachers of the faith, and preserve all children in the saving faith and in the certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Bless all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Jamie, Catherine, Emma, and Jordan. Protect little ones who are vulnerable to abortion from death, and lead their mothers and fathers to the help and support they need to choose life. Lord, in your mercy. O God, your Son, Jesus, is the Christ and the true King of this world. Grant great humility to the rulers of our United States, as well as to those who rule the nations, that they would submit to the preaching of his holy word for the sake of their own souls and for the good of your holy people. Grant godly peace, we pray, where there is strife. Defend the innocent, and let true justice rule in every place. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you sent your Son to serve your people and deliver them from sin and death. Because we long for your salvation, bring us out of our afflictions and uphold all those bruised in body and spirit. We pray today especially for Paula with her new breast cancer diagnosis, Luann, who is struggling with her pain, Victor and Sandy through his serious illness, little Hattie and her family, that you would be their refuge and support, and grant wisdom to her doctors. For Judy in her rehabilitation, as well as for Ted and Cindy, Aaron, Kate, Nancy Jane, Annette, David, Mike, Rick, and John, that you would grant your care to each according to their needs. Together with our sister Tamis, we give you thanks to the mercy shown to her family, especially to her sister-in-law Krish and to her brother John. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, as you have opened the heavens to your children in holy baptism, so grant also that your people would worthily receive the heavenly feast of the body and blood of Jesus for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, you have brought eternal life to us through the death of your Son. Grant that we who have come through baptism and who have died to this world would ever more and more live in the resurrected life of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, keep us, we implore you, in the true faith, since we have been baptized in accordance with your command, with the example of your Son, and with the promise of your gifts. Strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit, and lead us to everlasting life and salvation, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For at his baptism, your voice from heaven revealed him as your beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, confirming him to be the Christ. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Our psalm today is Psalm 85, a psalm of prayer. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God, to our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong the anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let us hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, and let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and the righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give us what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Surely his salvation is dear to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake, you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. Amen. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.